Sunday, Paul shared a testimony with me, and I asked would he share it today before I got off into my message. Testimonies right now are so dear to my heart, and they should be dear to yours too. You know, get the chance to brag on God. And even what we say a couple weeks ago, gossip on God, you know. And I love to hear what God is doing in people's lives, or it can be something a little. You know, my dad, he always tell me, you can praise God for the little things. You know, you don't always have to have something miraculous or something big and dramatic going on. He said, you can praise him for the little things, you know. Sometimes we just need to do that. But, Paul, will you share?
I am excited. I am always trying to see when God has got an opportunity. And I thank you guys. Thank you, Tony, for the opportunity to share. That, to me, is a passion to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. Amen. And first, I want to apologize to you guys. I'm sorry about my broken English, but I'm hoping that I can translate what God had put in my heart today for us. First, I wanted to bring you a question that seems to be for me first as a person. And the question is, do you know how much God loves you? You know, because sometimes we just seem to come here and we lift our hands and we sing songs to Him. But let me take you back to that moment when the Lord got a hold of your heart. Do you remember that day that you just felt that fire and it was so good and you just wanted to scream to the world, Jesus is alive, He just saved me, and He's got a hold of me, and there's no better day than today. But now, let me ask you another question. Is that fire, is that rejoicing still there in your heart, in your life? Are you lifting your hands up to the Lord the same way that you did to begin with? Or are you having a little bit of trouble to do that? And what do I mean by trouble? A lot of times we get comfortable and we just go along with the song, we sing it, but is it really going through your heart? Is it really registering it through your heart, to your mind? And really, is it really receiving it up there from your heart? Praise God. I want to read a scripture here. This is the book of Matthew, chapter 28. This is the Great Commission, verse 19. And this is for the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So this is Jesus speaking to His disciples and to you and I now. He says, go to the nations, go to whatever you feel like it. But now let me tell you something. I worry about my neighbor, his soul being saved. So I need to start right next door. Right? And then I can move on to whatever the Lord is leading me to do. I can go back home and just preach to the world. Amen. But how am I going to do that if I don't feel that fire that once God put in my heart? Now, how do we get to that point? Well, you get weary, right? You get weary through the path. I always go back to when the Israelites were going through the desert. You know, the sun, the cold nights, the sand. Even though scripture talks about their shoes never wore out or their clothes, for that matter. But our faith wears out as you go through life with the trials and things that you go, right? Different things. But let me tell you something that happened back right around that time when I can feel the fire of God in my heart. And I was just ready to box Satan. Literally. Amen. So one night, I just couldn't go to sleep. It was different. It was 2 a.m. and I couldn't go to sleep. So I'm just praying and whatever, and all of a sudden, my phone rings, and a friend of mine calls me up, and he says, brother, I'm calling you. I know it's late and all this and that, but I want to know if you would be willing to go with me to pray for this family. I was like, hey, let's go. You know, I was up. I was ready to go, so I couldn't sleep. So I said, okay, 2 a.m, fine. I met him at the house of these people, and I was already praying. So I can feel God was trying to do something, and I get there. And there's a couple. There's, you know, young people. I don't know, they might have been in the 30s. Apparently, the gentleman was involved with some drugs. Seems like a gun or something. But definitely drugs. The girl was involved. out with some sort of witchcraft. So I get there and I'm just like, okay, God seems to, every now and then he seems to open my eyes and I see things. So I just started saying, hey, okay, we're just going to pray. And, you know, I don't know exactly what it's all about, but I'm just going to pray with you. And so I opened my Bible and I read a verse of scripture. I don't remember which it was. But then all of a sudden I was reading and I was praying. And all of a sudden the girl started jumping from one couch to another and screaming like you wouldn't believe. And I started binding demons and whatever. I said, you know, you got no place. You got to get out. That's what we're here for. You got to get out. And we started praising God. I started praying, and of course, my friend was praying. This guy didn't know what to do, the gentleman. So I'm praying and stuff, and all of a sudden, I got my eyes closed, and then God shows me all kinds of pornography. And yeah, sure enough, I opened my eyes. There's DVDs laying around on the table. I'm in somebody else's house, okay? I go in there, and I grab those, and I threw them out the door. Not caring what he will think. Why? I'm just feeling the fire of God, okay? And God is not okay with that stuff. So I just threw him out the door, didn't care what he would say. That's what you do when you love God. I asked him once, do you know how much God loves you? Because when somebody loves you, and you know it, you correspond back. Otherwise, that person gets brokenhearted and gets, you know, down and there's no connection there. Well, God wants you to know that he loves you, but he wants you worship. He wants you to love him back. Amen? Praise God. So you could say, yeah, I know that God loves you, for God so loved the world, right? But now, again, the same thing. Is it going through your heart? Is it going through your mind? Is it going through your heart? It's the question. And so many scriptures that we can talk about, you know, think about Martha and Mary at the same time. You know, Martha, I'm sure that she loved Jesus as well, right? But Mary took and actually demonstrated him. You know, she demonstrated Jesus that really she loved him genuinely and poured that perfume and sit there at Jesus' feet, listening to all of the stuff that he was sharing with them. She was corresponding back to the love that Jesus was sharing with them. Praise God. You know, one of the things that I always think back is you and I have the privilege to call ourselves Pentecostal. Why is that? What is that supposed to mean? I'll tell you what. When those people were in that temple, 120, they believed. There was a bunch of other people that probably didn't believe, and all of a sudden they hear, what's going on? I hear a lot of noise. But those people experienced the fire, the tongues, speaking tongues, the spiritual tongues, the Holy Spirit working on you and I. You and I experienced that. Other people don't even believe that. But you and I have experienced that. God working through us. I'm telling you, when God gets a hold of me, I start to shake from the top of my head clear down to the soles of my feet. And I want to take off running because I feel that fire. I feel the power of God just going right through me. Oh, my God. Praise God. I was sharing with Brother Anthony the other day. I'm always trying to share with people Jesus Christ, salvation. A lot of people are lying to that stuff, you know. They go through motions and they go through stuff and they listen to other people talk about God. But they don't have that connection. They don't have that relationship that you need to be able to talk to him and say, Lord God, I need this. I'm suffering with this thing. My faith is not like it used to be. Have you done that? Can you do that? Can you sincere yourself to the Lord and say, Lord God, you know, because of these and these and these, my faith is not the same. And I don't quite feel the fire that you once put in my heart. And I'm sorry, Lord, but I want that back. So let me go back to what I was just beginning to say. I'm always sharing with people, especially now we got social media all over the place. You can find people, your old friends and whatever. And I've been finding some people that used to go with me to high school and stuff. And I found a friend of mine that was a pretty close friend of me. And he is a teacher. He is an elementary teacher. And I started to talk to him about Jesus for a long time. But he wouldn't listen quite, you know. Those people usually, they got a lot of things going on their heads, you know, because of their teaching and whatever. And he just like, well, in fact, he was my best man in our wedding. And when I started sharing with him, he says, well, in that case, maybe I'm not even your best man anymore because you changed religion. And so, okay. I said, no, I'm just trying to share Jesus with you. And I left it to that. We continued to talk for a while, for a long time. And then recently, one day he calls me up and he says, hey, you know, I feel something different in you. And for a while, I've been trying to figure out what it is. I knew what it was. I was like, thank you, Jesus. But one thing he said was, I want to know what that is. Of course, that was the door that I was looking for. I just shared with him. I prayed with him. And that soul came to the Lord right then and there. How about that? Now, when I said about you being weary and the way there, I'm going to just say it this way. So he asked me, he said, I don't have a Bible. And it's really hard for me to get one around here. Something that, you know, is personal. And so I said, I'll get you one. I'll get you a nice one. Okay, I'll appreciate that. So I got the Bible. And the lady there downtown, I said, can we imprint his name in the Bible? And she's like, yeah, we can do that. Oh, great. I said, okay, you do that. I left, and so the lady goes in there and does the imprinting for Bibles. She calls me about 20 minutes after that, and she says, I am so sorry. I already ordered you another Bible because the one we've been working on, I don't know what happened. This never happened to me. She says, the imprint, it just came off, and we destroyed your Bible. And I felt sorry for the lady. You know, I don't want her to pay for the Bible. So I said, ma'am, don't worry about it. I'll keep it. You don't have to pay for that one, so I'll keep it. However, after that, she said, we can put a little laminate and cover the mess up, and you will never see, you know, and then we can still put his name or whatever. I said, let's do that. So that was the first one, okay? She said, I never had this happen to me before. So I go in there, and I pick up the Bible, and I'm getting ready to put it on FedEx or something. FedEx was close. I went to town and country trying to put a GPS from there. So this guy started putting in the information on the computer. Right in the middle of that, the power goes out in the entire town. So things like that, you would say, man, maybe this is wrong. Maybe this, you know, maybe I shouldn't do this. But you know what? If you know who's behind all this stuff, I curse you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, and you got no authority. I take that soul back, and now I present it to Jesus, and now he belongs to him. You got no business. So you see, just a bunch of different stuff that we go through in life that can discourage us from doing the good thing. So if you call yourself a Pentecostal, you know that he is greater, that he lives in you, that he loves you, that one of these days, all of this is going to be over with, and you're going to be flying up to heaven. Amen? And I'm speaking for myself. There's time I just feel so tired of this thing, you know. I'm not seeing it. I'm sure you go through the same thing. But God has got the plan, and as long as you got a little bit of strength back, and you say, I'm trusting you, God. I know it's so tough for me right now to trust in you, but I got just a little bit left. I got just a little bit on the tank, and I'm just going to give it to you, God, and see what you're going to do with this. Amen? The book of John, chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. I just got you in a really serious position. I said that you got the privilege to know the Holy Spirit. I just put you in a position to know that really God does miracles even now. A lot of the people don't see it that way. A lot of people don't accept it. I have seen it. You know, the couple that I shared with you, he ended up coming to the Lord. The girl, she took off running out that door as I was praying. And I don't know whether she continued with her junk, but we saw the seed. We saw the seed. Now, here's one of the things that I was telling you about. I'm not bragging by any means to God all the glory. So he opens my eyes in the spiritual realm, and I saw like a weapon or something. And I keep on telling the gentleman, I said, God is saying, clean your house. Clean your house. Clean your house. And I didn't know what it was all about. But he just keeps on looking, do you know something? Well, of course I didn't know. I learned afterwards that the cops came around his house and find guns and stuff. So he got in trouble. But God is speaking to us. God is always saying, hey, listen, I got a plan for you. What are you going to do with that call? Praise God. Do you feel weary tonight? Do you feel the power of God? Do you feel the fire I've got on your heart burning like it used to be? I don't know how it was for you when you came to the Lord. I was 29 when we came to the Lord. And I'll tell you what, I just can't ever explain what God did through us. I felt literally in my body, God was shaking me and showing me things. And to begin with, I was scared. I was afraid to turn the light out at night because of the things I was experiencing. I don't know, some of you guys maybe didn't have that experience. Maybe you guys were born in a Christian home and you didn't have that personal experience. When God got a hold of your heart and he let you know who he really is. My God, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. So what are you going to do about this? Am I speaking to you at all? Do you feel like that, like you need to do something, but you don't know what to do? I mean, don't you love the power of God, the Pentecostal, the glory of God coming down in this place and people just walking out of here healed completely out of, I don't care what it is. I would love to see that. And I have seen it before. So that's not impossible. God can do it. Amen. So what are you going to do about that deficit? What are you going to do about that lack of? Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I got just a little bit of gas in the tank. I got just a little bit. And I can continue to move. But I am planning that my family and I will follow, will serve the Lord. How about that? Are you planning to do that? Praise God. I am so hungry for the glory of God to show in this place and really shake this place. I mean, is it possible? Well, the Bible shares with us and it says that Paul and Silas were in that jail and all of a sudden the walls and everything else was shaking. I'm telling you what, my heart shakes when I know Jesus has got a hold of my life. So I know there's no impossibles for him. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. This is another thing that I intend to do. A lot of people think that when you're rebuking Satan, you're praying to him. No, let me tell you something. The Bible teaches that you're to stand firm to him. Amen? So when you see one of your family is suffering through something, you got the authority. And you can tell him, Satan, get your filthy hands off of my family. They belong to Jesus. You got no authority. You got nothing on us. We belong to him. He bought us with his blood. He paid the price. So we don't belong to you whatsoever. Get out of here. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. And the violence, what are you going to do? Are you going to just, I'm just so tired. You know, I don't know what else to do. I'm just tired. You know, I just don't even feel like going to church anymore. Life just kicked me around and I'm just weary and tired. I'm intending to take it by violence. I'm going to kick his butt. Amen. If he gets around, I'll tell you what, you need to get back to that fire again because you're not doing it physically. You're not doing it on your own. He is the one that fights your battles. Amen. So go back to that fire. Go back to when you started walking. Go back to that feeling. Amen. When you lift up your hands and it was so sincere, God, I am here. And I'm hungry for you. And I need you to start doing something in my life. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me where I can stay close to you. Right close to you, Jesus. And he did that. Amen. So why don't we plan in doing that? How do you do that? Well, I'm finding out that I neglect the word of God for a long time. And I saw my faith started to go down. And same thing with prayer. If you neglect that part of it, your faith starts to diminish. And your flesh starts to grow. And then, oh, I want to go here. I want to go there. I want to eat this. And I don't want to fast. I don't want to do none of the spiritual thing. I'm just tired. I'm sleepy. You see? Need to go back to that fire. We need to go back to those times with Jesus. I can tell you there was times I heard the voice of God through my sleep, or I don't know how it was, but I heard voices in my head. And that's what we need to go back to. God, speak to me. Let me know how I am doing. Even if you had to yell at me, Father, for what I'm doing wrong, let me know. I need to make sure that I am the right path with you, God. And if I mess up, Lord God, please forgive me. I humble myself before you, God, and forgive me. And allow me to get back on that road. Amen. Praise God. So again, I think that's one of the things I think God calls us to preach the gospel to the world. Now, of course, we need to worship Him. That's our devotional to Him. But He calls us to go to the nations. I think God is in the business of saving people, of saving souls, and bringing them to heaven. And He commanded us to go to the nations. So if you really feel the hunger of getting back to that fire, let's start praying. God, put those people in my path. Put those people that you want me to speak to in my path. Because the Bible teaches that we don't have to worry about what we're going to say because the Holy Spirit speaks through you. So you just allow Him to speak through you. Praise God. I think He speaks to me. He speaks through my heart and He's like, hey, you know what? You're slacking off. I need you closer to me. So I'm just hoping and praying that it was something that touched your life tonight. I want to see God doing something through my life. You know, God didn't bring us here to just let us die here. Greater things you will do, Jesus said. If He healed the blind and all these people, what is He willing to do through you? Amen? Praise God. Brother Anthony.
Praise God. I said praise God. Amen. You know, I was sitting here today. I heard this word, don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. And I tell you why. We take too much stuff personally in this place. Can I ask you a question? Is this your ministry or God's ministry? Is this God's stage or our stage? So why in this body of Christ do we take stuff so personally? I'm going to ask you a question. If God was to ask you today, hey, I need you to get up and leave all this and go do something else. Would you do it? Or you'd be like, oh, I can't leave. It can't work without me. They ain't gonna be able to, the church is not going to be able to function without me. I'm going to be... Please! This is God's work. This is His building. This is His land. He can do what He wants whenever He feels like He wants to do it. We got to stop taking it so personally, and make the personalization about Him. I said it in the words of my favorite preacher. I said it. I've been in a lot of churches where you got a handful of people that think that the church will not be able to function without Him. Please. Please. Remember, I was back in New Christian Fellowship. My friend Arnie, he's a pastor now. Love this man to death. And we had an awesome praise and worship team. They were awesome. They recorded CDs and everything. They were awesome. But occasionally, they would take vacation and stuff like that. So Arnie would fill in. He was a backup worship leader. Man, please. He'd get up there, he'd be fumbling. Didn't sound just like them or nothing, but the presence of the Lord was in that place because He did not care about how it sounded, what it looked like. All He wanted to do was glorify God. That's what I'm talking about. All this trivial stuff that we get caught up in at church. Does it matter? Don't matter. So what if the order of service didn't go right? So whatever. I left something out of my preaching last week. It's okay. God said what He wanted to say. I beat myself up. I'm like, oh, well, Lord. I jumped over there. He said, it's all right. I didn't want you to say that anyway. I want you to focus on this. I didn't take it personal. Had a message for tonight. Paul, Lord said, don't take it personal. I tell kids in the youth group, the leadership, I say, if you got something in your heart, share it. I don't need to stand up here to say it's not Anthony LeBlanc. This belongs to God Almighty. And it's time for the body of Christ to start realizing that. God can do whatever He wants. What did Jesus do? Jesus said, I've only come to do the will of my Father. How many of us honestly want to see God's will done, or we just want to see our stuff done? We want our agenda. We want our way. We want this and that. People are saying stuff about the youth group. I'm going to tell you something about the youth group. I'm going to tell you something. Boy, I'm going to tell you, these teenagers is about to get delivered. God is setting them up. He is setting them up to get delivered from all that junk. And I'm telling you, I feel it probably the next couple weeks. You know why? People say, hey, man, you're doing a great job. I don't want to hear that. God's doing a great job. I stay out of God's way. That's all me and my wife do is stay out of God's way and let him have his way. That's all we do. The stuff that's being done with these kids, I had nothing to do with that. I'm just preaching and teaching what he's put on my heart. He's doing it. There have been times like, Lord, can I preach on this? No, I want you to preach on that. Okay. Lord, can I preach on this? No, preach on this. Every time some of the kids like, hey, they were just talking about that in school. How did you know that? I didn't know that. That was God. He changed that up. He heard it from the world. He wanted you to get what the Bible had to say. That's what it was. He wanted you to know what he had to say about what they talking about in school. It just boggles my mind. Boggles my mind. I've been saved for almost 20 years, and I've seen the decline in the church. I've seen agendas, personal agendas, and things that go on in the church. When I first got saved, it was about Jesus. Everything. Every church I stepped into was about Jesus. Now it's about agenda. It's about this, about that. Hey, you got a Facebook account? You got your Instagram? Who gives a crap about that junk? Who cares? God uses it. Yes, he uses it to get the church out there. I'm not against that, but I don't have one. I don't really care. Don't need it. The only banner I'm worried about carrying is Jesus Christ. That is it. I can care less about all the other stuff. I've seen it decline. Less and less people are bringing their Bibles to school. I know we have the media. I get it. I have like 30 Bible apps on my phone. It's a blessing when I'm putting messages together and things like that. But people don't even bring their Bibles no more. So if they're not bringing it to church, that tells you they ain't reading it at home, right? What has happened? Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness to that right now? What has happened? Are we just going to till Jesus come back? Do-do-do-do-do. Hey, brother, I need some prayer. Okay, do-do-do-do-do. No, you pray for them. You share the gospel with them. My heart is breaking from where I come from and where I see the church. You know why? And I ain't trying to brag, but I'm a champion of God. It breaks my heart to see that. All this dumb stuff. We argue, we fight, we stab each other in the back, we gossip. For what? That's exactly what the enemy wants us to do. So why are we over here bickering about what the color of this wall is going to be? People are dying and going to hell. I said it. Yeah, people are dying and going to hell. Every second, 25 people die in the world. We got to have a committee meeting about what color the wall is going to be and if it's going to be satin or semi-gloss and all this other stuff. And what does it matter? Don't matter. Don't matter. There's a saying back in the day, we used to say this to each other, you're talking loud, but you ain't really saying nothing. That's what the church has been doing. Been talking loud, but not really saying or doing anything. When I used to do street ministry, the first thing I used to hear is about people. Man, the people in church, they're crazy, man. They're coming in here with broken hearts. They should be leaving out here with their heart healed by Christ. But no, people want to, oh, they look kind of funny. They're not the same skin color as me. Oh, I said it. Been dealing with that since I got saved, boy. And for what? Can't take nobody with you. So, people, when I get to heaven, I want God to back the truck up and say, well done, thy faithful servant. It's time, like Paul said, it's time for us to stir back up. Didn't Paul tell Timothy to stir up the gift? It's time for us to stir it up. The drug in his community is messed. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us to see people set free and delivered. And don't tell me it can't happen because I've seen it. I've laid hands on people and God has sobered them up, delivered them from alcoholism. I've seen it before my eyes. I'm going to share this testimony real quick. I was doing some street ministry. There was a homosexual couple down there walking. And I was with another brother of mine and we were minding our own business. But my one brother started talking to one of the guys named Luis, started talking to him. And his partner was getting irate and upset and mad, cussing. And I'm just standing there, I'm like, here we go. The Lord said, well, why don't you do something about that? What do you want me to do? You God. You take care of it. God said, no, you take authority over that. Okay? So I took authority over that craziness. He started walking away, still cussing, ranting and raving, but he walked away. And his partner was able to receive the gospel message. Okay? Got set free from homosexuality and lifestyle. And a year later, he was on the street preaching the gospel to people. You don't tell me God don't move. You don't tell me God can't move in somebody's life. Yes, God's grace and his mercy and his power is greater than any sin. And this is what community needs. The love of Christ. They need to understand that God's grace and his mercy is greater than anything in their lives. And it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to shake it up and get out there with this gospel message. You don't have to be going to highways and byways like God has called me to, but your job, the grocery store, Walmart, Save a Lot, it doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Family Dollar. Hallelujah. Dollar General, Dollar Tree, anywhere you're at, it's time to share the gospel, because you never know. You never know who you're going to touch. You never know whose life can be transformed. They can be laying there late at night saying, hey, I heard this brother share Jesus with me. Call upon the name and I shall be what? Saved. That is what is needed nowadays.
Hallelujah.
We all need each other. We need each other. Don't need you stabbing me in my back. And vice versa, and I'm going to stab you in yours. I need you. I need you. So no more of this stabbing each other in the back. What did the Bible say? Jesus said, the world shall know you, my disciples, by the way you love one another. And I'm done. I'm going to pray.